Good morning. We're going to be in Acts chapter 20 today, if you want to look there. This is a lesson that Paul gave to the elders in Ephesus. He's on his way to Jerusalem. It'll be the last time he's going to see them. He called them together. Instead of going through Ephesus on the way and being delayed too long, he decided to just go ahead and go past and invite the elders to meet him in Miletus. And there's quite a bit here in the lesson that he wanted to give them. It's about him and the work of elders, the work of preachers, the work that he did. And there, so we're going to look at this related to the focus that elders should have. And the reason, obviously, that we're doing this is because this is a big time for the church where we're looking at installing elders. And we need to be aware of the process, aware of what's going on, the reasons for that, and course, it's better this way. Remember, in the men's meeting we had, I brought it up, the process, and talked about it. And the overall sentiment was, it's about time. I didn't mean it in a bad way, but it's time. It's been a long time without them. I know with the congregation here had elders one time before. I don't know how long ago it was, but it's been a while. And it's something that's necessary, and it's going to help the church to grow and function in a better way. And it's about time in the sense that we're thankful that we actually have people that want to consider it. And that's a great place to be. And the congregation here will benefit by the people that are doing that. If you don't know what I'm talking about, check your email, because we sent out something a week ago. If you don't get email from us, get with Katie so we can get you on the list, make sure you know what's going on. But in the process here, we're collecting names right now, what we're doing, of men who want to be elders. And sometimes men might want to do it, but they need some encouragement. So if you know someone who you think, hey, he might be a good guy for this, then go encourage, because you know, it's often said the first qualification of an elder is whether or not he desires it. And that's true. But there are a lot of people who might do things if they were encouraged to do them because of confidence issues, that kind of thing. So think about that and pray about that. And, of course, go talk to them and then bring the names to me. I'm just collecting the names right now. And then at the end of this month, probably the first Sunday in March, we'll actually have a formal recognition of all the people that names have been submitted, and however many names there are, that's how many months we're going to take. So if there's two names or three names or four names, that's how many months we're going to take to question them and go through the process of figuring out, okay, are these men going to be qualified? We want them to be leaders of the church, that kind of thing. And then after that, we'll have a congregational meeting where everyone, men and women, all come together and talk out any issues. It's a kind of a final chance to have your say. So I'm saying that in advance. So I'm hoping that you'll come to be part of that. So I'm going to do quite a few lessons on elderships and elders and what to expect, what we should expect as members of the congregation, what elders should be doing, that kind of thing, to help refresh our memory and put it into process, in the processing here in our brain, our gray matter. It is, I don't know. Very many people who have been in a congregation where elders were established and put in. Every time I've seen elders being added, they already had elders. And so you either have elders or you don't have elders. And it's very rare to see a church that doesn't have elders to actually add them in, especially nowadays. And I don't know why that is, but because in the first century, they were doing that all over the place. But that's the way it has grown. In some places, they don't want elders. In some places, just qualifications are tough. Anyway, that's not the point. So the proper focus of elders, or proper focus for elders, there's two basic ideas that he brings up in Acts chapter 20, and I didn't realize how hard that was to see, so I apologize for that. Acts chapter 20, verses 25 through 35, I'm going to read this, and we'll come back and talk about it. There's two ideas here we want to look at. He called them together with the workers of, wrong chapter. And indeed, now I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. "For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among you, among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone, night and day, with tears. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who are with me. But I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" So this is what we're going to look at, the text here, and we're going to see, notice a couple of things about focus. And the first one is that the elders focus on the church, 25 through 32. This is what the focus should be related to that. And look at what he's saying here. We're going to go through and see the points that he's making. First of all, he talks about these savages that come in. In verse 28, he says, "Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God. For I know this," in verse 29, "that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock." So the imagery here is, as the Bible uses it often with elders, is that they are shepherding. They're shepherds. Jesus is the true shepherd, and the elders are shepherds, and we are the flock. Elders are also part of the flock as well. But there is a special situation here where they are called to watch. And what they're focusing on is the church. And the reason for that is because what he says, one reason is because savage wolves may come in. And these are people who are false teachers. A false teacher and someone who teaches a false thing are different. They can have some of the same results, but there are differences. Someone may get up and say something that is wrong occasionally and make mistakes. I've made mistakes preaching, but that didn't make me a false teacher. What makes someone a false teacher is when they're shown the evidence and they refuse to change. Sooner or later, they become a false teacher. I remember hearing this in school someone said, you can be honestly mistaken, but after time, you either cease being mistaken or you cease being honest. And it's when we cease being honest that we become a false teacher. And usually, the reason that we have false ideas usually comes down to something that we want from that. And we want something, right? And here in this context, he's talking about people having gain. He talks about the fact that he didn't covet anyone's gold or silver. He's not doing this for the money, but there were people who were in that time who were going around teaching and preaching, and we even see people who are practicing magicians and things like that, fooling people, tricking them into thinking that they're from God. And the whole reason for it is that it's just money. It's not something all too uncommon even today that we might see. But it's easy for us, when I bring this kind of idea up about false teachers and money grubbing and things like this, it's easy for us to go to televangelists, right? They kind of stand out that way. And we've seen some pretty, over the years, if you paid attention, we've seen some pretty strange things coming out of the mouth of some of them trying to get money. And it becomes obvious, or it seems to be obvious, what their intentions are over time. But it's not always that way, and it's not always about money. Sometimes it's about power. Sometimes it's about having control over your little area of the world. And sometimes we people who do some strange things just to play political games. You know, church and politics should never mix, but there's always politics in church. That's just a part of life. And the reason it's there is because human beings exist in the church. We make up the church. And anytime there's humans together, these kinds of things tend to happen. And so what we have to do is manage them, understand them, and also make sure that we keep things from going bad. And elders do that. They can help maintain the peace. They can help maintain the structures and understand how things, and also protect, because sometimes now and then there are people who set out intentionally to harm other people, intentionally to hurt the church for their own purpose or their own gain. And a lot of times they usually present themselves as if they're the ones who are maybe the victims, they present themselves as they're doing what is in the best interest for the congregation. And these kinds of things have to be addressed. Now, thankfully, we don't have that here, but you never know. When I've been in places where people had to be stopped because they came in and they were causing all kinds of problems trying to get a gathering and gain a following. And when that happens, it can be savage. It can be, I don't mean to speak ill of the church. I love the church, but I've seen how sometimes members of the church can be more cruel than anyone I've ever seen. It shouldn't be that way, but I've seen it. I can't lie about it. We may have all seen it, and I could tell you some horror stories. I'm not going to, but there are some pretty savage people. And when you have the, sometimes you think you're right, and you're going to press the issue, and if you are, especially if you have motives that are not correct, we need help. We need protection from that, and that's what elders can do very easily. If you look in the book of Jude, he gives great descriptions about all the flowery words that they give, all the promises and all the things that they promise are going to happen if you follow them along in their journey. That's one of the things. But also, I want you to notice, he says, also in verse 30, also from among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. So there, it's possible he's talking to the elders and he's telling them, listen, even out of your own number, your elders, you may actually have some men who will decide to just take off and run, and they're going to do their own thing, and they're going to take people with them. That is a serious concern. And that's why we have a plurality of elders. That's one of the reasons. Because we have people who can, it's not that we're snitching, as Christians, it's not that we're snitching on each other, but we can talk to the elders and we can say, hey, here's some things that are happening. And we can even look at the elders and talk to them and say, listen, we see some things happening. And in fact, some of the most egregious errors in the second and third centuries that where the church started really going off course was in the matter of leadership. And it started with eldership, and it started really in Ephesus. A lot of it did. The reason for that is because this is where we start seeing one of the first, what you would call the quote-unquote head elders, where one man was exalted over the eldership, and he was the one that called the shots. And from there, we actually have even more. Congregations started doing that all over the place. They were mimicking the Roman Empire at the time, and they elected one man to run everything, probably out of convenience. And city by city did this, and all the cities started gathering together these one men over all the churches, and they started having councils and discussions. And before long, they have a hierarchy that's built, and we have congregations that are all subject to one authority, and then it spread and spread, and then we have really what turned into the Catholic Church because of the apostasy of the one congregation that started having the head elder. That's wrong. And so here's a warning for them. Be careful and look to yourselves, and this is what they should focus on. He also gives his own example of how he behaved, and look in verse 31, therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone, night and day with tears. So now, brethren, I commend you to the God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. So what do we have? We have the warning about savage wolves. We have the warning that it could even come from the eldership itself. And so we have to be careful and watchful, and all of us have to work together on that. We have Paul's example of how he behaved, and this is the answer. The answer is not setting in place a committee to oversee the elders. The answer is to get the word of God out into hearts of everyone in the congregation as much as possible, and everyone that we can come in contact with, get the Bible into their hearts as much as possible, because he says, look at what he says here, that God and his word are the answers. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. God is the one who will help protect us. Jesus is the true shepherd, and he will help us. But we need to be aware, and so this is one of the reasons we need elders, and this is what their focus should be in the church. That means that they may come to us and ask us questions about things now and then. Why? Because they're concerned. have a job to take care of the church. They want to make sure everything is going well. And we actually, a meeting with two of the men who are wanting to become elders, and by the way, I'm saying this because if you're a man who wants to join in this process, meet with us, because we're actually going through lessons on leadership and what it means. And I'm hoping, I see good things in the two that are coming, because I see that they understand what it's about. And we need to all have that kind of understanding of what it means to actually be led and have leaders and what their job is and what their function is. And their focus is, it should be on us as the people of God. And that's what Paul is telling them. And he tells them this is a very important duty. They were given this because they were made to be the elders by the Holy Spirit himself. That could be a reference to the fact that they may have been anointed with the Holy Spirit, with powers. It could also be a reference to the fact that the Holy Spirit is the one who gave the qualifications for the elders. And so in that sense, they are qualified as well. However we understand it, we understand that God is involved in the process. And then he says that we need to focus, that elders need to focus on motives. We all need to focus on our motives, but the elders definitely need to focus on their motives. Look in verses 33 through 35. Verse 35 is really the point. He says, I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So his point here is that we need to support the weak. So as a church, we do that, and the elders need to do that as well. And the weak here, from context, is not spiritually weak as much as physically. They have no power. They have nothing to there's no way to take care of themselves. That's his point, because he's saying, I labored to take care of myself. I supported myself so I wouldn't be a burden on the church. That's what he said. And because of that, then, he says, I've taught you a lesson. The lesson I'm teaching you is to take care of the poor. Take care of those people that can't take care of themselves. Obviously, there are spiritual overtones, but the emphasis was on taking care of the church, of the people in it. And whatever that those needs come, sometimes it becomes physical before we can really worry about the spiritual. Look at what he said, the example in verse 35, I've shown you in every way. And in verse 33, he says, I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Now, Paul, in some places, did receive support. He's not saying that it's wrong for him to receive money. He's saying that the reason that he was doing it was not so he could pad his bank account. The reason he was preaching and teaching was to help people learn how to be like God. It was not so that he can earn a living. It was so that he could do what he was called to do, and that is preach the gospel to the Gentiles. He started with the Jews and ended up going to the Gentiles wherever he went. So this is what we have to recognize, and anyone who is looking to be an elder needs to analyze motives. Why do you want to do it to begin with? And this is one of the questions I've asked many times of these men that come to this lesson, to these discussions. Why do you want to do this? What are you going to do different when you become an elder than you're doing right now? And why can't you do the things that you would do as an elder? Why can't you do them right now? It's a great question. And what we're doing is, what I'm doing is challenging everyone. We all need this challenge. Let's all act like we could become elders one day. One of the discussions we had last night, one of the questions was, is there anything that an elder does in a church that normal members are not required to do in some degree or capacity? And the answer was nothing. All of us, now none of us are required to be married. That's not the point. I'm talking about activities that are required. All of us have the opportunity and the responsibility to look over each other. We all have that responsibility. We can't say, am I my brother's keeper, as if I don't have any responsibility or obligation to anyone around me. All of us have the obligation to make sure that people are not teaching false ideas. All of us have the obligation to encourage and equip and do what we can for each other. And that's something that we all need to do, and we also need to make sure we're doing it for the right reasons. Because sometimes it's our motives get fuzzy. Have you ever noticed that? That's the biggest thing for me, is looking at my motives and asking why. Because often I do things and I look back on them and I realize that maybe my motives weren't what I thought they were to begin with. You can't learn that unless you're thinking about it. But we assume, when other people do things that we don't like, we assume their motives are bad. When we do things that we don't think is right, or we know that is not right, we assume our motives are right. Neither assumption should be made. You don't actually know what your motives are unless you ask yourself the hard questions. And we can look at ourselves in the mirror and see what it is that God wants us to do and why we're doing it. And it's a really important idea. So this is what we wanted to look at this morning. It's a short lesson, but it is about, and it's about elders. But I want you to understand that this is about us as well, that we, all of us Christians, need to focus on each other. We need to focus on ourselves, make sure that we are doing things properly and looking at the reason why we do them. This morning, if you're not a Christian, the opportunity is there for you. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, you're willing to repent of your sins, decide to make a change, you confess your faith in Jesus and be baptized for the remission of your sins, we're here to help you. Well, we'd love to do that for you. If you are a Christian and you need prayers of the church, we're here for you as well. Once you just let us know, and please come as we stand and sing.